Just like to ask you to open the Word of God tonight if you have a Bible with you. One verse I'll read to you, it's found in Habakkuk chapter 3 and it's verse 2. And while you find the place, I would just like to thank you for the invitation, for inviting me along tonight to testify of not what I've done, but what the Lord has done for me. The Word of the Lord says in Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 2, O Lord, I have heard thy speech and was afraid. O Lord, revive thy work in the midst of the years, in the midst of the years make known. In wrath remember mercy. Maybe just tonight we could bow in a word of prayer before we begin. Heavenly Father, we come to thee tonight, Lord, and we thank you that we can sing, knowing you, Jesus, there is no greater thing. Oh, Lord, we come tonight with thanks on our lips, Lord. Thank you tonight, O God, that you have saved my very soul, Lord. Oh, thank you, dear God, that thy grace is sufficient, Lord. Lord, we pray tonight, O Lord, that not one will leave this meeting not knowing the truth of those words, knowing you, Jesus, Lord. Oh, Lord, we pray tonight if there's one in the meeting unsaved. Oh, dear God, that by thy power you'll come, Lord. Oh, we thank you tonight, Lord, that there's power in the blood to set the prisoner free. Lord, we pray tonight, O God, that thy speaking voice would come. Lord, that thy spirit would be in the midst. And, oh, Lord, that you'd challenge souls. Oh, Lord, speak to each one of us tonight, Lord. I give myself wholly to thee, Lord. I ask that you would take away nerves, Lord. Oh, Lord, and you might even fill me with thy spirit, Lord, not for anything of myself. Oh, but to bring all honour and glory unto thy great name. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Well, I'm from a place called Points Pass. I'm sure not many of you know where it is. If any of you, it's quite far away. But, you know, I was brought up in a loving home, a caring home. I'd never really had a need for anything. You know, I had two parents who loved me greatly. And, well, they always strove to teach me the difference, what was right, what was wrong, the things which I should be doing, the way I should be going. But you know, it wasn't a Christian home I was brought up in. Although every Sunday morning we were sent along faithfully to church. But you see, the church which we went to didn't preach the gospel. See, I was often told in church, well, if you're a good person, oh, if you do the right thing in life, if you're a good neighbour, if you're a good friend, oh, you know, why shouldn't the Lord let you into heaven? You know, you're as good as anyone else. You know, I lived my younger years believing this. I never often thought much about dying, but you know, any time I did, I thought, well, I'm as good as anyone else. You know, if I should die, well, then I should get into heaven. You know, it wasn't until the age of 11 or 12 that my parents sent me along to a different youth fellowship, a different church in Points Pass, to their youth fellowship. It was 11 or 12 years of age. You know, at those meetings, for the first time in my life, I heard the gospel. I heard that I needed to be saved. I heard that I was a sinner before Almighty God. And you know, I can remember many a night in them meetings being convicted of sin. And I can remember many a night in them meetings knowing that I wasn't right before God. And I would have to do something about it. And I can remember one night coming home and getting beside my bed and praying, Lord, oh, when I'm on my deathbed, I'll get saved. I know I need to be saved. Oh, my deathbed, I'll come to Christ. Just give me, let me have my fun in life. But you know, the Lord didn't really seem to be happy with this, because any night I went to the youth fellowship after that, the conviction was still there. Oh, I knew that I wasn't right before a holy God. I can remember specifically one night going to the youth fellowship. The Lord was really speaking that night, and I came home and I got beside my bed and I says, oh Lord, I'll come to you on my 20th birthday. Oh Lord, when I'm 20 years of age, I'll come and I'll come to Christ and be saved. Just give me my teenage years. Let me have my fun. Oh, you see, there was one verse in God's word that I didn't understand at that time. It's found in Genesis. It simply says, my spirit shall not always strive with man. Oh, you see, I thought that I could name the time, I could name the place. Oh, it was going to be on my terms. Oh, little did I realize at that time that salvation is of the Lord. And maybe that's you here tonight. Maybe you have named the time, you have named the place. Oh, you know you need to be right before God. Oh, but to you, just tonight isn't the right time. Oh, I just trust tonight, if you don't take anything away from this meeting, that God says, my spirit shall not always strive with man. And you know, you could come to the meetings, I don't know, for the next 10, 20, 30, 40 years. But you know, tonight might be the last night the Lord will ever speak to you again. You know, tonight might be your last ever opportunity. You know, at the age of 14, well, we'd gotten a caravan up in Port Rush here, and my cousin had also got one there. And that summer I was introduced to the things of the world. That summer I started to drink. That summer I started to smoke. You know, September time came, and well, I had the decision to go back to the youth fellowship. But well, I thought I was too old for the things of God now. I was going to do things my way. You know, instead I decided to go along with my friends to the Young Farmers. You know, even through this, at that young age, 14, 15 years of age, I started to attend the nightclubs. You know, for the next 3 years of my life, that's all I lived for. Oh, I couldn't wait to get the week over in school until I got out on the Saturday night. Oh, until I got out and had a bit of crack, as I thought. Until I got out and had a bit of fun. But you know, never lasts, so it doesn't. I was always taught in the youth fellowship, you know, pleasure only lasts for a season. Do you realise that tonight? You know, this went on until I was 17, and well, I started to hang about with a couple of Christian fellows in school, and one of them asked me along to a youth rally in Auchnacloy. You know, I went that night. I didn't go to hear the word of God. I didn't go that night to hear what God was saying. I basically went that night to find new friends or to see if there was any girls, to be honest. And I went along that night, and there was a fellow by the name of David Stewart was preaching. And, you know, I had purpose in my heart that night to go and see him after the meeting. I knew that I wasn't right. You know, for the first time since youth fellowship, the Lord started to speak to me again. I'd never heard his voice since. And you know, I knew that night that I needed Christ. I knew that if I was to die that night, I was without a Savior. But you know, the meeting went on a wee bit long, and well, I had an AS exam the next morning. You know, the devil came to me that night and he says, you'll fail your exam. He brought to my mind that night things which I thought I didn't know. Oh, he says, if you go and see him afterwards, you'll be tired. Oh, just think about your exam. You have plenty more time to do this. You know, that night I put the success of my exam before the salvation of my soul. I wonder tonight, what is it you're putting before your soul? Oh, it might not be an exam. Is it the girlfriend or the boyfriend or the car, the ambitions, the house, the bank balance? You know, whatever it is, you could become the richest person in Northern Ireland. You know, but if you're not saved, you're going to die a poor millionaire. Do you realise that tonight? Oh, you're going to leave this world the exact same way that you came in. You're going to leave this world naked. You're going to bring nothing with you. But how's your soul going to be before Almighty God? You know, the weeks that followed that and the months, I started to go along to different churches with these friends on the Sunday night. Oh, good gospel preaching churches. Oh, many a Sunday night I heard the word of God. You know, many a Sunday night I could feel the Lord speaking to me. Oh, I got the sweaty palms in the meeting. You know, I was under deep conviction. But you know, every night I seemed to get out of those meetings just listening to the devil's lies. Oh, thinking that there was plenty of more time. Oh, I just wanted to have my fun. You know, the devil told me, you'll be a laughing stock, you'll never give up the nightclubs, you'll never give up the drink. And you know, I listened to him. And then one, you know, at that time, many people would have looked at me, and I'm sure many would have said, there's a fella and he's a Christian. Oh, you see, during the week in school, I tried to live by what my parents had taught me. I tried to live, as it were, on the clean side of the broad road. I tried to not do anyone any harm. Oh, in my eyes, I was good. Oh, on a Sunday night, I was in church. I had a suit in my back. I had a Bible under my arm. Oh, many would have thought that I was a Christian. Oh, but you know, I was only fooling myself, so was. Oh, it doesn't matter what others think about you. There's only two people that matter. It's you and Almighty God. And you can be sure tonight you'll never fool him. You're only fooling yourself. You're only playing on it tonight. Trying to play church and trying to play the world. It doesn't work. You know, then about a year later, I was coming home one Saturday night with my best friend, a fellow Gary Irwin. He was here a couple of months ago testifying. You know, I don't know what came across me that night, but I turned around and I said to him, will you go to a youth rally tomorrow night with me? Oh, he didn't know what a youth rally was. To my knowledge, he had never been to church. You know, that night, to my surprise, he said he would. And, well, the Sunday night came and the Sunday night went. And, you know, we went along to the meeting. But, you know, things started to change. Oh, no longer had Gary a desire for the things of the world. I can remember ringing him one Saturday night. Are you going out tonight? And to my surprise, the answer was no. The next Saturday night, I rang him. Oh, you're definitely going out tonight. No, I'll not be out tonight. You know, I learned that Gary had got saved. You know, there's a verse in God's word and it says, them that honoureth me, I will honour. You know, there's many young Christians I meet and they say, oh, it's all right to go out to the nightclubs. Oh, I'm out there to witness to my friends. Well, let me tell you, young people, I've been there. You'll never witness to a soul in the den holds of iniquity. You know, it's the devil's lie. But you know, Gary honoured his God, and instead of me taking him to the nightclubs, oh, he started to take me out of them. He started to take me along to different things on the Saturday night, and you know, God kept his promises. You know, as Gary had honoured his God, the Lord honoured Gary. 6 months later, his best friend was saved. October 2007, I was 18 years of age. You know, I went along to the youth rally in Auchnacloy, as I'd been doing for many months now. And, you know, I just went the same as I'd went any other night, just to see who all was there. No intention to really get saved, no intention to get right before God. But you know, there was a soldier speaking that night, and he was speaking about his time in Iraq, I think it was, and but how on the battlefield you really realise the brevity of life. Oh, but how God holds your very breath in his hand. Do you realise tonight that you're not guaranteed your next breath? Oh, you're not guaranteed to see home tonight. You're not guaranteed to see your way out through the door. It's only by the mercy of God. You know, then the Reverend Abraham got up that night to speak, and you know, he just read two verses. I'll read them to you now. Two well-known verses, Romans chapter 12, 1 and 2, and simply says, I beseech ye therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You know, the Reverend Abraham got up that night and he simply focused on that short phrase, and it says, ye present your bodies. He says, you know, you can't be 99% saved. Either are saved or you're lost. Oh, I thought I was 99% of the way there. I thought the only thing that's stopping me being a Christian is a drink. If only I could give up the drink, then I'd be a Christian. Oh, but you know what? That's not true. You know, I was a sinner. My sin wasn't dealt with. It wasn't the drink that was holding me back. It was my sin. You know, he simply says, you know, you're all in or you're not in at all. You can't be partly in and leave your leg out. You can't be partly in and leave your hand out. It's all or nothing. Then after that meeting that night, he made an appeal. And all the Lord was there. And all the Lord was speaking to me. And you know, there's a great battle going on in me that night. Oh, I knew that I was so close, but yet I was so far away. My head was telling me that night, you'll never keep it. Oh, you have plenty more time. Oh, don't be doing this tonight. You'll be a laughing stock. What are you going to do next Saturday night? You know, my heart was telling me, you need to get right with God. Oh, this is your last opportunity. You know, he made an appeal that night, and I sat in my hand. You know, because I knew if I wasn't sitting in my hands, it would be in the air. You know, like a fool that night, I walked out of that meeting, knowing more than ever that I deserved a Christ rejecter's hell, but Christ had died on the cross to save me. But oh, it meant nothing to me. As it were, I trampled over the broken body of Christ going out through the door. And you know, it came then to driving down the road on the way home. You know, that night, the Lord hadn't finished with me. We were driving down the road towards the motorway. It's a twisty road, and there's three of us in the car. We were going around the corner, and well, there was another car coming, and he decided to mount the verge, and he rolled the car onto its roof. You know, that car came towards me. I can still see it yet, with the sparks coming out of the roof. And down this side of me was a drop, a bank. You know, I closed my eyes that night thinking that was it. I closed my eyes that night thinking that was lights out for me. But you know, only by the grace of God that I opened my eyes that night, and I looked in my rear view mirror, and the car rolled a couple of times, and he was back on his wheels. And you know, I, as it were, planted that car that night to get out of there. Oh, since the youth fellowship, the Lord had been after me, had chased me for so long. But that night he finally caught up with me. You know, as I read there tonight, Habakkuk said, oh Lord, I heard thy speech and was afraid. And for many a night before that, I had heard the Lord speaking. Oh, but it never really scared me. But you know, that night I was afraid. I was afraid of Almighty God that night. And you know, he had chased me for so long, he caught up with me. You know, tonight he's chasing after every one of you. As if he's speaking to you here tonight, he's chasing you. And I'm going to say to your friend, if he doesn't catch up with you in this lifetime, he'll catch up with you in the next. And how will you be before him? You know, well, the fellas in the car that night, they started to scream and yell, and we went back and we pushed the car off the road and travelled on down the motorway. I dropped them off at Portadown, and I went down the road to university. Tears rolling down my face. Oh, knowing that I needed Christ more than ever. Oh, knowing that I had to come to him, that I had to come to the cross, knowing that he died on the cross for me to save me. And all that I had to do was come. You know, I got down beside my bed that night in university, and all I'd done was cried on to him for mercy. And you know, that night he saved me. You know, there was no flashing light, there was no big bang. But you know, that night I had the peace in my heart that passes all understanding. Oh, you know, I knew the promise of God that night that nothing would ever pluck me from his hand. Oh, I knew that night that I was saved. But you know, I have to say that I made one mistake that night. You see, I thought that you had to go and see a minister. You had to be beside your bed before you could come to Christ. And you know, even though travelling down the road that I knew that I was bound for a Christ rejecter's hell and all that I needed was to come to the cross. You see, I waited until I got down the road to university, down beside my bed. You know, it was only by the grace of God that he spurred me that night to make that journey to Belfast. But you know, maybe the Lord's speaking to you here tonight. Or maybe the Lord's striving with your soul and you know you need to be saved. You know, maybe you've said to yourself, I'll wait till I go home. And then I'm going to come to Christ. You know, as I said before, you're not even guaranteed to go through the door. Oh, you know, afterwards, the devil will come and he'll take away the word. You know, the Lord, he's not looking at you tonight to bow your head and say a big long prayer. That's not what he's after. You know, tonight the Lord's looking at you to bow your heart to him. Oh, it's what you cry from your heart. It's not what you cry from your mouth. It's you cry on them from your heart for mercy, and you know he's promised to give mercy. You know, that night I realized that as I'd went through my life, I've been going about it totally the wrong way. You know, it was just over a year ago now, I was on work placement for university, and I was working down at the road there in Dungannon, and it was a big sight, and you know, they'd given me a white Jeep to drive around the site. And you know, it came to Christmas time last year, and well, I hadn't much on one day, and I decided to wash this Jeep. You know, I drove the Jeep into the car park, and in front of about 50 other Jeeps, that Jeep was spotless, that Jeep was shining, so it was. But you know, then a couple of days after that, towards Christmas time, the snow came, and I can remember driving down the site one day and walking back up towards the Jeep. And you know, that Jeep that day was filthy. Oh, you know, against the pure white virgin snow, that Jeep was dirty. And you know, for so long in my life, I had been, as it were, judging myself against everyone else, judging myself against the other Jeeps. Oh, compared to everyone else, I was clean. Oh, but you know, on that night, I found myself against the righteousness of Christ, and I realized that I was filthy. Oh, I realized that I was as dirty as ever, that sin had come upon me, and that I was filthy. You know, tonight you're not going to be judged by the world's standards. Oh, the world tonight might say that you're a good person. I'm sure you are. The world tonight might say, oh, you're maybe the best person in Coleraine. Maybe you are. But tonight you're not, or when you meet God, you're not going to be judged by what the world said about you. You're going to be judged against the righteousness of Christ. But you know, he said in his word that he'll wash you whiter than the snow if you'll only but come to him. You know, there's power in the blood tonight to make you clean. You know, the days and weeks that followed me coming to Christ, my life started to change. Oh, no longer had I a desire for the things of the world. No longer had I a desire for the nightclubs or the drink or the smoking or any of these things. You know, now I had a desire to read the Word of God. Now I had a desire to get before my God in prayer, to come to my Savior and to just speak with him. And you know, I could testify to that verse. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. You know, maybe you're in this meeting tonight and you've once made a profession of faith. Oh, but tonight you're not sure if you're on the road to heaven and to home. Maybe tonight, oh, you don't know if it's real or not. You know, there's one verse you can examine yourself by. Have the old things passed away or all things become new? You know, I believe tonight that if all things haven't become new, you're not born again. And you know what? I was happy for that year going along, just as it were, doing my wee thing for the Lord. Oh, speaking a word when I could get opportunity. But you know, I was just happy sailing along in the boat, as they say. But it was near enough exactly a year later, the Reverend Abraham preached again. And this time it was on, again, Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. But you know, this night he simply spoke in, what is your reasonable service? Oh, what the Christian's reasonable service is to their Savior and their King. You know, that night the Lord burdened me to go out and to reach the lost at the nightclubs in Banbridge, these places where I'd went to for so long. You know, the Lord started to speak, and you know, that night I was filled with fear, I have to admit, but you know, I went out to hand out the tracts, these places where the Lord had taken me from. You know, I can remember coming out of them and the fellas handing the tracts out and me throwing them down, or me throwing them back at them. But you know, now I was here in the Lord's service. Oh, what a God we serve. Oh, what a God we have tonight. He'll do everything beyond your expectations. You know, then, it's about a year now. It's actually a year tomorrow, I think, that I was out in Poland on a children's team with Colin Tinsley. And, you know, even in the summertime, I went away on the youth council outreach to Wales. And I went down to the playing match in September there down south. And, you know, through all these things, the Lord has opened my eyes. Oh, you see, I often heard about the broad road. And you heard that there's many on it, but you know, you thought, oh, there's a couple here, there's a couple there. Oh, you see, maybe most of your friends tonight are Christians and you don't really see the need. Oh, you know there's ones going to hell, but there's not too many. You know, the Lord opened my eyes at these places over in Merthyr in Wales. 6,000 or 50,000 people in that town. One of the evangelical churches, there's 15 people in it. The biggest church in the town's a Mormon church, 200 people in it. Oh, you know, that's a darkened land. Even down south at the Plamatch, 80,000 people one day, all you can see is a mass of heads. Oh, you know, tonight, Christian, do you know what the broad road's really like? There's millions on it. But you know, even at the nightclubs and stuff, I speak to people and, you know, you ask them, do you believe in God? Oh, they believe in God, all right. You know, Northern Ireland tonight, as a majority, believes that there is a God. You know, you ask many people, many young people, do you believe it? Do you believe the Bible? Oh, I believe the Bible. Yes, I believe it truly. You ask them then, where are you for? Oh, I'm for heaven. But you know, my Bible says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men, whereby we must be saved. My Bible says, except a man be born again, he shall not see the kingdom of God. Oh, you know, Northern Ireland tonight believe that Christ went to the cross. Salvation's knowing that he went there for you. Oh, history tells us he went. Do you realize tonight, if you were the only sinner ever to be born onto this scene of time, Christ would have died for your soul? Oh, that's how much he meant to him. But you know, many people tonight, that they can get to heaven their own way. Oh, they say they believe the bits of the Bible they want. They believe that there is a heaven. They're going to do it their way. You know, Christ says in the Word, in the Bible, all of you know the verse, he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Do you realize the words he says? He says, I am the way. And he says, no man cometh unto the Father. Maybe tonight you're gathered in and you know the gospel. Or maybe tonight you know that, oh, the gospel tonight, you know that people need to be saved, but it's not for you. You know, tonight Christ says, I am the way. There's only one way, through the way of Christ. And he says, no man, it doesn't matter who you are. You could be the king of the land, or you could be the man laying in the gutter. It doesn't matter who you are. There's only one way, no other way unto glory. You know, I wonder tonight, are you trying to make it your own way? You know, I believe tonight there's millions in hell on the thought that they could do it their way. Oh, they knew the gospel all right. Oh, but they thought there was a way for them. A way that they didn't need to come by the way of the cross. You know, but they're in hell tonight. You know, maybe you're here in this meeting tonight and you're unsaved. You know, you have a decision to make. What are you going to do with Christ? You know, one day you're going to stand before him. If you were to stand before him tonight, how would you plead? You know, I can remember reading that great sermon by Jonathan Edwards, Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God, and he simply described the sinner as a man standing in a dam. You know, every day that he stands before this dam, the wrath of God builds up behind it. And you know, the dam is made of God's mercy. And it's only by the mercy of God that the wrath of God is being held back from you. But you know, one day that dam is going to burst. And one day the wrath of God is going to be poured out upon you. And you know, you're just going to be swept away, so you are. Do you realize that tonight? Oh, but you know, Christ went to the cross to take away the wrath of God for you. If you'd only come and believe in him. Tonight, what are you going to do with him? But you know, maybe tonight you're saved. I trust and I pray that many of you are. You know, tonight I wonder how you're walking before the Lord. You know, I meet many Christians and they think that all that Christ can offer them is salvation. They think that that's it. And you know, they live in a life of defeatism. Oh, they've come to the cross, but you know, everything else in life, it's just seems to be sin just has the victory. You know, even at the nightclubs, you meet many people and they just long to be drunk. Oh, even young Christian people, and they come out and they just love the things of the world to profess the name of Christ. Well, you know, to an extent, I know how they feel. You know, it says in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18, and be not drunk with wine, where is an excess, but be ye filled with the Holy Spirit. Oh, you know, tonight the world is drunk. The world longs to be drunk on the Spirit that the world can give them. You know, I long tonight to be drunk with the Holy Spirit of God. Oh, I wonder, is that your desire tonight? You know, I wonder, have you ever noticed a drunk person? You know, I can, doing the outreach at the nightclubs, you see a lot of people coming out and, you know, the drink's taking a grip and You know, one thing I always notice is they're always singing. You know, they've never any worries. They don't care about how they're getting home. You know, they're not afraid of what they say to you, and they're not afraid of what people think about them. And you know, there's even another thing. They don't really care about their money. You know, I can remember whenever I used to go out, there was a fella, and during the week he wouldn't have let a pound run past him, but on a Saturday night he would have given it all away, so he would have. Oh, you know, what would it be like to be drunk with the Holy Spirit? Always to be singing, never to have any worries. What are we worrying about, Christians? What would it be like to not have a care about money? Oh, how hard is it for you to give the tithe? Oh, you know, what would it be to be filled with the Holy Ghost? But you know, I can remember a couple of weeks ago I was listening to a fellow preaching, a fellow by the name of Alan Bartley. You know, he says the Holy Ghost, he's a gentleman. He'll never force an entry. You know, how true it is. If we've places in our lives, I wonder are they all open under the Holy Ghost? Have you all the doors open tonight? Is he willing to come in? Is he allowed to come into whatever part of your life he wants to? Or is there wee bits in your life you're saying, no, I'm not giving that over to God, that's for me? You know, I sincerely believe tonight that revival's not going to come until the church gets right. You know, we've heard so much over this past while about how we need revival, and oh, how we do, and about how revival has come in the past. But you know, I strongly believe tonight that the revival's not going to come with a sober church. You know, I believe tonight that before the Lord comes, that the church has to get back to God. Oh, we have to seek his face, that we have to be burning for God. Oh, that we have to be drunk with the Holy Spirit. You know, to have our lives filled, be given over to him. Oh, if revival came to this land, would we be able to cope with it? Oh, if multitudes of sinners came to Christ, would the Christians be able to lead them to the cross? You know, there's so many times in our lives we get caught up by the things of the world, and there's so many times in our lives we are afraid to offend people. You know, there's many Christians, and you know, they live for the things of the world. You know, they don't really live for eternity. Oh yes, they're happy that they're on their way to glory. But you know, they've set aside all the things of Christ. You know, they're living for the things of the world, believing that this is all there is. You know, I'm not going to say this for my own glory in any way, but in September time, I was testifying down at the Mulloglass Church, and you know, my mum and dad came into the meeting that night, and well, we went home after the meeting, and I never got chatting to them because I was home a wee bit later, and laying in my bed at 3 o'clock in the morning, my dad came in and he shook me, tears rolling down his face. You know, that night I led my mum and dad to the Lord, and what a joy it was. But you know, I'm one who, as I could say, loves my sleep. You can ask Rachel here. There's many a time she could find me falling asleep when she's speaking to me. But you know, that night I went back to bed and I couldn't sleep. And you know, it was as if that night, I don't know if you've ever experienced it. Well, can you remember when you used to be a young boy or a young girl and you used to lie in bed on Christmas Eve night and you used to wait for Santa to come? And oh, you were buzzing, so you were. And oh, you couldn't get to sleep. Oh, you know, you just couldn't wait, you were bouncing. You know, friends, that's how I felt that night. You know, the joy of the Lord filled me. I've tried the things of this world. I've tried what the world can offer. Oh, but there's no pleasure like the joy of the Lord, so there's not. You know, I wonder tonight, are you willing to open every door to the Lord? Are you willing to experience his Holy Spirit tonight? Or are you willing to let him come in? Are you willing to take hold of the blessing and the promises of God? You know, as I've said already, for those that are unsaved, they'll stand before the Lord one day. But you know, we too will stand before him. You know, I just hope that on that day that none of us will have any regrets. You know, I just hope on that day that we'll have not put the small things of this world before the things of our God and before the things of our Saviour. You know, I'll just leave one wee saying with you. I was listening to Leonard Ravenhill, a great preacher, not so long ago, and he simply said, only one life will soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. And when I am dying, how glad I will be that all on this life has been burnt out for thee. Now I just pray tonight that each one of us will consider how we're walking before Almighty God. I thank you all for listening.